Every time they come into the meeting, they're saying, are you sure we shouldn't be taking it? Because my mom and my sister, they keep telling me like, I need to take that CPP. And that's like a conversation we have over and over again. So those opinions of those people close to us, I mean, they definitely have weight that it makes sense you're going to consider, right? But you want to make sure that you're taking those ideas and discussing it with someone who's maybe informed about financial planning and working with you on your situation in particular.
Welcome to the only show that simplifies the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
Expect clear insights,
accessible tools,
expert interviews,
and actionable advice,
empowering you to use your values as a roadmap to your ideal retirement.
No MBA required.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Retirement Planning Simplified. I'm Joe Curry, along with my co-host as always, Lindsay Wilson. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. We'll jump right into it today because we've already spent about 15 minutes on our technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties, yes.
So anyway, we're here and we're ready to go.
Well, I thought we could dive into five money mistakes that we see people make commonly in retirement. So what are some of the pitfalls of taking advice from friends and family? That's sort of our first topic. Can you share your insights on why this can be a significant money mistake in retirement?
This is definitely a common mistake we see, but it's also really easy to understand why people are going to take advice from friends and family, right? Because we trust our friends and family. So it makes perfect sense. But if I was getting heart surgery, you know, I wouldn't want my friends or family telling my cardiologist how to do it or telling me how I should do it on myself, for example. I want the cardiologist who went to school for a lot of years to tell me how to do it. So at the end of the day, what we see is that when family or friends are giving advice, and this is not to say that there's never good advice from friends or family, because obviously there can be, but a lot of times that advice is just coming from an instinct or how we feel, or maybe based on their situation, not your situation, or it's something that they read in the Globe and Mail last week or saw on the news. So all of these things may have a place, but your situation is unique. So taking advice from somebody else who doesn't deal with this every day and is not working with you to kind of understand your goals and everything else you're trying to achieve often ends up in advice that is well-meaning, but kind of ill-placed or ill-timed. So is that a good start, Lindsay? Am I kind of getting the point across?
Yeah, I think one of the examples that we've heard in recent times is taking CPP early because the government owes me, right?
Yeah, so a CPP is a great example. People usually have their own idea of how they want to take or when they're going to take CPP, or if they don't, yeah, they're getting advice from someone else they know who's already taken it or dealing with the same situation. And often that's something that people just default to is, well, you know what? The government owes me. I've been given the money for my entire working career, so I'm going to get my money back and I'm going to take it right away, and so should you. But that's something we've talked a lot about around CPP and OAS timing. Is in most cases, probably not in your best interest to take it at age 60, even though that would be the most common advice that we see coming from friends and family. And we've done financial plans for clients we've worked with for a long time, and we've had the plan to hold off until at least 65. I'm thinking of one couple in particular in my head. And every time they come into the meeting, they're saying, are you sure we shouldn't be taking it? Because my mom and my sister, they keep telling me like, I need to take that CPP. And that's like a conversation we have over and over again, right? So those opinions of those people close to us, I mean, they definitely have weight that it makes sense you're going to consider, right? But you want to make sure that you're taking those ideas and discussing it with someone who's maybe informed about financial planning and working with you on your situation in particular.
Yeah. Are there any other stories or something from your own experience or clients where you found it was a challenge with a client taking advice from friends and family?
Yeah. So another example is 2022. We had a client come in. We've worked with a long time, always taking advice really well, actually. And we've had a lot of success with them and their planning, but just things were down, and that's for everybody. I mean, remember back, we had a good year in 2023. So sometimes it's hard to remember those periods. But anyway, 2022 was not a great year for markets.
Yeah.
The consensus from the family was, so she's a widow, telling her that you shouldn't have much money in stocks. You have to be really conservative and not really understanding investing, to be honest. And that's more of a kind of a rule of thumb, right? Lining up your stocks and bonds with your age is kind of one way of doing it, but it's not really specific or unique advice to an individual. So for someone who has potentially, she's fairly young, so up to say 40 years of retirement ahead of her, if she has a portfolio that's all bonds or GICs or cash, I mean, she's going to run out of money. It's pretty well guaranteed.
Makes me think of the risk of being too conservative, right?
Yeah, exactly. The risk of being too conservative. So she's getting advice from her kids who to this point haven't really built up a portfolio and haven't had to deal with any kind of retirement decisions or retirement investing, but she's kind of come into the meeting convinced that she should be taking some risk off the table. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, the portfolio was down at that point. So that's probably the worst time we could be trying to take some risk off the table. So we got through that. It's all good. But it's just another example of where people are putting their opinions on someone else without actually being in their shoes, without being a professional in that space, and also just looking at one specific period in time, in that case where the markets were down.
Right. I think it might be worthwhile moving on to our second money mistake, which is in regards to RIF minimums and personal situations. So taking a risk minimum or not taking it is based on personal preference rather than personal situation. What are the implications of this common misstep?
Yeah, so approaching it as just kind of your personal preference is not generally ideal. And this is the same thing we just talked about with CPP timing. So for some people, they just have this idea that maybe it's because when their parents passed away, there was money left in their RIF and they had to pay a bunch of taxes on that account. So they just have this idea in their head that I'm not leaving anything in that account for my kids to have to pay tax on when I pass away. And maybe it makes sense to take more money out of the RIF than we would need to support their income or their lifestyle. And the flip side of it is some people will just automatically default because they've been told that, you want to leave your money in your RIF as long as possible. So never take it out before age 72 when they make you, and just take the minimum out all through life. That way you're going to get the best outcome from a tax perspective. So that might be a good advice, but also it might be the exact opposite advice. And this is where it comes back to your situation and doing your planning. So what we find often is if someone's not spending as much as they could spend given their assets in retirement, and they're in a relatively low tax bracket, then it probably makes sense for them to take some additional withdrawals out of their RIF. If they have tax-free savings account room, we could put it in there. We could put it into a non-registered account. And then they're probably going to be a little bit better off from a tax standpoint over the long term. It doesn't always work out like that. So don't take that as advice. That's just kind of what we see when we're running the numbers, as often the case. Now, the flip side is, though, for most people, especially if they're going to be spending most of what is a sustainable amount of money to spend in retirement, especially if they're in a higher tax bracket, then it probably is not worth taking money out of the RIF before we need to, because we're going to get more from the tax-deferred growth by keeping the money invested in the RIF. Mm-hmm. So anything invested in that RIF, registered retirement income fund, is going to grow on a tax-deferred basis, meaning any interest, any capital gains, any dividends that are paid out within that account, we don't pay any tax on it. We don't pay tax until we take a withdrawal. We take money out of the account. Mm-hmm. So in that scenario where we're spending kind of up to the max of our sustainable income, or if we're in a high tax bracket, so we have to pay a lot of tax as soon as we take it out, then in most cases, it's going to make sense to leave the money in there as long as we can to keep it growing tax deferred, and then just take it out as we need it. Mm-hmm. So those are two different situations that are kind of complete opposites. But again, a lot of times people are coming and they already have their idea in their head of how they think they should be taking that money out. Now, when clients come to work with us, that's what we're helping them figure out. And they're usually open to that planning. We do that planning and give that advice. But a lot of people do it on their own too. So if you're doing this on your own, that's okay. But you want to make sure you're intentional and kind of crunching the numbers on what those outcomes are going
to
be.
Yeah. Maybe just to back it up a little bit, you could give us a breakdown on the RIF minimum for listeners who might not be familiar with that term.
Sure. So an RRSP is what we're using when we're saving for retirement. So we put money into our RRSP during our working years. We get a deduction from our income. So if I have $100,000 of income, I put $10,000 into my RRSP. I'm only paying tax now on $90,000 because I got a $10,000 deduction. That money grows in there, tax deferred. So we don't pay any tax on the growth, the interest, the dividends as we go. And then eventually we retire, we need to turn that into a paycheck. Once we need a paycheck, we're going to actually move that money into a registered retirement income fund, or a RIF. And now a RIF is designed to send money back to your bank account, give you an income, as opposed to the RRSP, which you were putting money into for savings. Mm-hmm. Now, at whatever point you switch over to a RIF, by the next year, the following year, now there's a minimum that has to come out of the account. So every year, as long as there's money in that RIF, the government has a formula that tells you this is the percentage that you need to take out at a minimum this year. You can take out more than the minimum, but you have to take out a minimum. So even if you decide, I want to leave this and let it be, defer the tax as long as I can, by the time you turn 71, you have to move any RRSPs into a RIF. And then the following year, so age 72, then there's no choice but to pay out the RIF minimum. So you can avoid that RIF minimum by keeping it in an RSP, but by 72, you have to pay out the RIF minimum. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be around age 72, you're looking a little over 5%, I believe, at that time.
Great. So I'd like to look at our third money mistake, which is retiring without a dress rehearsal. What does that mean and how can it lead to financial missteps?
So I don't think it's too far into the past that we've talked a lot about dress rehearsal on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But the reason that we need to do the dress rehearsal is because there's so many times where we've seen people come in and they've said, this is our goal. We need this amount of money for monthly spending. Let's say it's $5,000 a month. And the problem with that is they're not living on $5,000 a month right now. So it's kind of a stretch in a lot of cases that think that we're actually going to live off that amount. Now, in some cases, I mean, it works and it's kind of the opposite. Maybe there's lots of income there. But in a lot of cases, maybe they're trying to retire early and they're done with work. They want to push it. So what happens is they get a little bit conservative on their expenses and then they get into retirement, but they find out that they can't really live on $5,000 a month. They've been living on $10,000 a month for the last 5 years. And now maybe they could get it down to $8,000 a month or somewhere around there, but they haven't actually got it back to 5,000. Obviously, I'm just making up numbers here, but this is, you know, a scenario that we see. So the dress rehearsal was really just figuring out what we actually can live off by doing a dress rehearsal and actually living off that amount of money for a certain amount of time.
Could you provide some advice or steps for our listeners to conduct their own retirement dress rehearsal?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is figuring out the cash flow. So I said a lot of people will just kind of run through their numbers and figure out a number that they think they can live off of. But we don't have a real system for how we come up with that number. What happens is maybe that number makes sense if we just look at 1 month on its own, kind of a standalone month. But if we start to average out all of those extra expenses that come out throughout the year, I mean, those add to our monthlies, right? And there's always extra expenses. There's Christmas, there's birthdays, there's the furnace rent, there's just regular maintenance of your house or your car, mm-hmm. or you have to buy a car. So there's so many things that don't necessarily fit into our regular monthly spending. So if we're just looking at picking a month, I mean, okay, our expenses, like I said, are $5,000. That's not necessarily representative of what you're spending throughout the whole year. So ideally, what you want to figure out is how much do we spend annually in total? So all the money coming into our bank account and then looking at how much of the money is coming out of our bank account. We can back out a few expenses like maybe retirement savings, for example, maybe a mortgage payment if we're not going to have that when we get into retirement. But other than that, you're spending that much money. So you take that number, divide by 12, and now you have your new monthly amount. Once you've come up with that amount, then the next step is to just set up a separate bank account where you put in that amount. So if the amount was $5,000 a month you think you can live off of, well, all your paychecks are going somewhere else, but you're just putting $5,000 a month into that account and you have to pay everything out of there other than, like I said, your retirement savings or things that won't be there in retirement. And then just literally live off that for a year and see, are you stretched? Are you still enjoying life the way you want to? Or do we need to maybe put some more money away, work a little longer than we expected? But at least you're making that decision before you've retired and left your job and maybe don't have the option to go back to work. Or at least at that point, your mindset is that you're not going back to work, right?
Now, our fourth money mistake in retirement is, and we've touched on this before as well, planning big projects in retirement like home renovations.
Yeah. So same idea as the dress rehearsal is we might have an idea of what these expenses are going to look like once we get to retirement. So whether it's we want to fix the shoreline at the cottage, or we want to put an addition on the house, or we want to redo the kitchen, whatever it is. And COVID and the inflation we've seen since COVID is kind of the perfect example of how things don't always play out as planned. So anyone planning to retire around 2020, 2021, even 2022, having plans, and we've seen this with clients, we're speaking from experience here. That's why we're talking about these mistakes, right? You know, we had plans for what we were going to do to enhance our living space once we got to retirement, and we budgeted $100,000. But by the time we actually got around to doing the project, now we're looking at $200,000 or more. So that's a big chunk that you need to take out of your retirement nest egg. So if you're taking an extra $100,000 out that you didn't budget for, that's in the ballpark of $500 a month of spending money that's now no longer available for you for the rest of your retirement. So ideally, what we want to do around these projects is we want to be getting those done before we retire. Mm-hmm. And then that way, if things don't go to plan, we can decide then if we want to back off, change the plans, or we want to maybe work an extra year to get these things paid for. Mm-hmm. Because again, you have a lot more flexibility when you're still working, right? Once you've retired, there's less flexibility in most cases. Now, the flip side of that is if it's just not going to work in that order, then you want to be budgeting on a lot more. When you're figuring out what's your sustainable income in retirement, mm-hmm. and you know you have these expenses, you want to be adding on a significant amount to the upside of what the cost might be. So if you're looking at a construction project, you know, I'd be looking at least an additional 50% more than what you're quoted. So by the time you actually get around to that, that's built into your budget. Now, if you end up not spending that extra 50%, that's great. You still have that for retirement, but at least it's not the other way around where all of a sudden you have less income than you had planned on.
Right. So mistake number five, having no retirement plan in place. Why is it a mistake for people to enter retirement with no retirement plan in place?
Sure. So a retirement plan takes into account so many different pieces. And I think a lot of people just think, you know, I'll get my investment set up properly and then I'm all set for my retirement. But anyone's listened to the show for a while knows that there's a lot more that goes into a retirement plan than just setting up our investments. So we need to figure out, yeah, what's our investment portfolio? How are we investing in retirement? How's that different than before we retired? We need to figure out what are all our different retirement income sources. And some of those we control when we turn them on, right? Like our portfolio, our CPP and OAS. We also want to figure out and look at kind of our different tax buckets. So when we start to withdraw from our portfolio, should I withdraw from RSPs or RIFs? Should I be taking money from non-registered first? Does it make sense to have tax-free income coming out of our tax-free savings accounts? So what's the order there? We're also looking at what are the risks? What are the things that might come up in retirement that maybe I'm not expecting or planning for? And how can I make sure that we can mitigate or even avoid those risks by proper planning? And what does our estate plan look like? We're not going to be here forever. So how are we setting things up to make sure that everything's taken care of for our kids and done in an efficient way or whoever we're leaving money to? And that's not everything. Those are just a few of the pieces. So to kind of walk into retirement without having planned out how we're going to handle all these different pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, it just leaves a lot of room for error. And part of this retirement income plan is also looking at our withdrawal strategy. So how are we handling it if markets are, you know, like 2008 when we retire? Like, how are we going to make sure we don't run out of money if we see the portfolio down 20, 30, 40, 50%? So all of these things need to be kind of mapped out with a plan on how they're going to be handled. Because if we don't have a plan on how we're going to handle them, then what happens is we start to make more emotional decisions also. So there might be mistakes we're making we don't even know we're making. But then when it comes to the investment piece, when we see things down, say your portfolio is down 30% and you don't have a plan for how you're going to adjust your withdrawals in retirement when that happens, then you're going to start defaulting to things like, I just can't take this risk, I got to get out of the market. And then we're locking in a 30% loss in your portfolio and you're missing all that kind of future upside. So you're not going to keep up with inflation. That's just one example. But at the end of the day, having a plan helps us know how to pivot and how to adjust when all these unexpected things come up or when things don't go to plan, what we thought was going to be the plan.
So there are different variations of a retirement plan. And could you share what a retirement plan is not versus what the listener should be looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a standard plan and what a lot of people expect to be a plan is they get a projection. So I've talked about this before, but they're inputting how long they're going to live, how long they think they're going to live, I should say, what they think inflation is going to be, what they expect their investments to do. And then they run the numbers and you get back, this is how much money you can spend in retirement. Or depending on how you did it, maybe it was my goal is $5,000. Yeah, you're okay. You're going to be able to spend that. So one of the problems with that is we don't know how long you're going to live. We don't know what inflation is going to be. We don't know what your return is going to be. And even if we did know what your return is going to be, we don't know what order the returns are going to show up. Because if you have any money in a market, stocks or bonds, it's not going to be the same every single year. So that means we're going to have some good years and some bad years. So a projection is not really a plan. It's maybe a starting point to let us know if we're in the ballpark. But a lot of times, that's kind of where the plan ends. It might be a little bit of advice around when to take CPP or OIS. And yeah, you're going to be okay or no, you're not going to be okay based on our projection. So that's not a plan. So I talked about some of the components that do go into a plan. So if you're paying for planning, make sure your advisor or planner is looking at all those different areas I mentioned earlier. Also, it's probably not helpful if you just get 100 pages thrown on your lap. We actually had someone in here yesterday, a new person that we're working with. They wanted to come in. They've already worked with a planner. They got what was supposed to be a comprehensive plan from another provider. But basically, well, she said, I have this plan. There's 70 pages here or whatever it is. And she said, the guy told me I'm going to be okay, but I don't really know what any of this means. So it feels good to hear him say, I'm going to be okay. But again, I don't know what to do with all this stuff. It doesn't really mean anything to me. I just see a lot of numbers and charts and graphs. So that's also not really a plan. The other side of the plan is We've touched on all the key areas, hopefully, but then there's action. Like, what are the action steps in each of these different areas? And how do we adapt as things change? Again, what are the action items? Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit about what a plan is and what a plan isn't.
So just before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or advice for listeners to avoid these mistakes?
Yeah, I think it is being prepared, planning ahead. We've talked about recently the importance of a planning ahead for your retirement, why we don't want to leave it too late. So number one is don't look at this. I mean, if you're listening now, now's the best time to plan. But if you're still several years out from retirement, at least a few years out of retirement, you want to start getting clear on what retirement is going to look like. What are your goals? Are you on track? Should you be adjusting the portfolio now maybe to get ready for retirement? Because there's kind of a danger zone the first few years before retirement and the first few years into retirement as far as your portfolio goes. So the key is, yeah, start taking those steps to build out your plan. Because if you have a plan, then you also, when you're getting that advice from family members, you can say, yeah, that might make sense for you, but like I have a plan and I know it's going to help me reach my goals. You have something to go back to. Same with your investments. Markets are down, but I have a plan for how we handle that and how we stick to the plan. This has been an action item probably on 50% of our podcasts, but yeah, make sure you're intentional in putting a plan in place.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Investment services are provided through Matthews & Associates Investments of Aligned Capital Partners Incorporated, an approved trade name of Aligned Capital Partners Inc., ACPI. Only investment-related products and services are offered through ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI and covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Tax planning, financial planning, and insurance services are provided through Matthews & Associates. Matthews & Associates is an independent company separate and distinct from ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI. Matthews & Associates are not licensed tax professionals, and you should consult with your tax advisor before acting on any recommendations.
Visit retirementplanningsimplified.ca and join the Retirement Planning Simplified community,
where we explore the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
As a member of our community, you'll receive insights,
tips,
and the latest retirement planning tools
straight from us to you.